during the meetings of the two houses, we have indeed looked and thought about what is true, what is honourable, what is just, pure, pleasing, commendable, and excellent. We have found it summed up in a life, and that life has been worthy of praise. We've heard of a life which took literally the reading that we heard first, to be liberal and ungrudging in giving of time and effort, of energy, of life itself, that was open-handed to the poor and needy neighbour, not only in our own land, but around the world. And in this service and in all our hearts in the last 4 days, we have called out of the deep, out of the place of darkness and anger and despair and anxiety. We have called for help. And St. Paul, writing to the Philippians, a place of struggle and of poverty, tells them that when there is the call for help, God is the one who brings peace. It is even possible in bereavement that peace does come through the love of neighbour and friend and family, and in this case, around the world. There will be many here who have worries, those who will go to their surgeries and worry, their friends and families. There are the worries, the anxieties, the deep concerns around our nation from different views, but anxieties about its future. And there are the deep and profound anxieties that are lived out daily by those to whom Joe went in Syria, in Darfur, and in so many other places, and where she gave her love as well as in her own constituency. The promise is that when all is in the hands of God, our deepest anxieties, even our anxieties about the future of our nation, about its stability, and about all that makes it what it has been, even those are overcome by the peace of God, which dispels anxiety, brings hope, and enables us above all, at the end of all things, to draw together in the confidence that not only our lives, but our history is in the hand of God, that not only our joys, the joy of a life that gave joy, but also our sorrows at their loss, are kept and held by God, who will bless us and bless you, who will bless each one in this nation as we turn to him in our need. May God's blessing rest upon us. Amen.
Words from the Psalm. Out of the deep I have called unto thee, O Lord. The cry of the psalmist becomes our cry today, because from the depths of our being we cry out in agonizing pain at the brutal taking of the life of our colleague. From the depths of our being we cry out at the loss of Joe Cox, MP, a mother, a wife, a daughter, a sister, a colleague, and a friend. We are in shock, bewildered. There are no words to express the aching we feel inside at the brutal way in which she died. We do not understand, how someone so full of love, goodness, and compassion could be taken from us with such venom and hate, leaving her family and all those who knew her well, leaving us all with a pain of grief hardly to be endured. And we must commend her family, her husband Brendan and children, her parents and sister, and other extended family for the dignity with which they are bearing this loss. Jo's death is undeniably of seismic proportion, not only for her family, but of seismic proportion also for our democracy that we cherish. Our members of parliament must be able to interact with the people who elected them to serve without fear of being attacked. As we gather now and remember Jo, we must not allow the way she died to take precedence over the way she lived. I would like us to recognize that she was a real gift to us, her family and friends, a real gift to her colleagues and her constituency, and a real gift to Parliament. For the short time she was with us, she modeled well the characteristics of being an excellent Member of Parliament. This was not just a job, this was a calling. For her, it was a vocation. She was not interested in being a slave to any one ideological belief. To achieve success for the humanitarian causes she fought for, she was not afraid to work across party lines. We have much to learn from her legacy. In her lifetime, Jo walked the talk. She was here in Westminster not to be what some people refer to as the Westminster bubble, but because she wanted to make a difference in the lives of her constituency. She genuinely loved all the people whom she was called to serve in the community she grew up in and now had the privilege to work for. She was not daunted by what may have appeared as an insurmountable problem. She would simply find a way through it. For her, nothing was impossible. Jo served a diverse constituency, and in her own words, words which you have heard in the chambers, and I repeat, what surprises me time and time again as I travel around the constituency is that we are far more united and have far more in common with each other than the things that divide us. How we need to hear those words ringing loudly above the other noises which we are hearing at this time. It was the things that were shared in common that she would seek to harness. She also wanted to make a difference in the lives of those who were vulnerable around the world. As a former aid worker, she knew firsthand the experiences of those who were fleeing war or poverty. She understood and felt the plight of child refugees. Speaking in the Commons debate on the Syrian city of Aleppo, she said, "Who can blame desperate parents for wanting to escape the horror that their families are experiencing? Those children have been exposed to things no child should ever witness, and I know I would risk life and limb to get my two precious babies out of that hellhole." This was a Jo who stood in other people's shoes, and that was why she was able to say those words. She was not afraid to speak her mind. I am minded to think of her as a prophet, one called to speak truth to those in power, regardless of the consequence. Jo lived the words of the last line of our Deuteronomy reading. Open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land, whether it be this land or any other land. She was clear: to make change happen, enough good people were needed. Will we commit ourselves to being that group of good people? Will we be a Bernard Kenny, the pensioner who intervened, irrespective of the consequence? We pray for his continued healing. And finally, for all of us, of faith or no faith, of whatever creed or culture, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received from Jo, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.